right. Good evening, everybody. How you all doing tonight? It is the 13th of March, 2023. I can't believe we're less than 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. Oh, my God. And, you know, I tell you, I'm with a lot of you out there that kind of feel like some of these bigger, high-profile matches, something is lacking. To me, probably Rhea Ripley and Charlotte seems to be lacking more than anything. I mean, some of the other confrontations have fallen flat a little bit, but I think there's too much calmness going on. Some people may feel that way about Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Believe me, as we talked about last week, this coming Monday, a week from today, that will all change. You will not see the handshakes. You will see it getting pretty nasty out there. But, you know, even with some of the other builds, you know, Brock Lesnar and Omos, listen, man, that started off hot tonight and it finished off not. When I show you the little segment later on, you'll realize that Omos, I think, forgot that he was in the ring with Brock Lesnar and that, you know, in storyline and when you have matches with people, you know, you simulate that you're pushing someone over the top rope. When it comes to Brock Lesnar, though, you can't just simply just go like this and expect Brock to do all the work. Did not happen. And did you like the edit job that WWE did towards the end of Raw tonight? They made the spot look incredible. They edited out about three quarters of what went down. I think that was missing also. You know, if that would have been a pull apart, there would have been a confrontation. Now, listen, they're not going to obviously ad lib. They're not going to improvise. You know, they were told to do this segment and that's it. So, you know, in a way, don't blame Brock and don't blame Omos. But I think if they would have had the big pull apart, you know, the one that I always remember is Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar long time ago. I still remember the Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar. Didn't they have some big confrontation years back? I remember one that, you know, people were just amazing. And tonight, a little handshake, you know, you don't break the hand, so it looked like a bad cartoon. Let me step on his foot instead. And Brock just retreats. I don't know. Tonight's Raw kind of fell flat in a lot of ways. Cody Rhodes cutting the best promo since his WWE return. I mean, some of the other promos that he cut, there's lots of sound bites. I'm doing this for you. I am you. Yeah, you know the sound bites they keep playing over and over again. But tonight, you know, you saw it. You felt it. You know, him. And by the way, in case you didn't figure it out, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes officially will be closing out night two of WrestleMania. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, there was no way they were going to close out night one. But, you know, when he kept talking about April 2nd, what he's going to do, you know, there are people out there. And let me tell you something. When we, Maggie Scott, welcome to the family. When we do, you know, and it's not going to just be a Patreon. I mean, I'm going to discuss it on Saturday also. But I'm very surprised that the number of people out there that are convinced that WWE wants Roman Reigns to go to 1,000 days. This isn't, what was it, Charlotte Flair, Nikki Bella? Correct me if I'm wrong, when Nikki Bella became the longest reigning champion, soon as she passed that mark, didn't they take the Divas title like right off of her and give it, was it Charlotte Flair? But, you know, like once she made that milestone, that was it. Like shortly after she dropped the title. I don't believe Roman Reigns needs 1,000 days. Why? I mean, are we really going to, put it this way, how many times, when you think of the champions from yesteryear, from Backlund to San Martino to Hogan to others, to Cena. I mean, when do we ever see people really bringing up 1,000 days? I mean, 1,000 days is impressive. But you mean to tell me that Roman Reigns' memorable record, historic run, historic might be the better word, You mean to tell me it gets diminished because he didn't reach 1,000 days? I think that's crazy. But you'd be surprised how many people think 1,000 days. And I guess we could segue this into a cheap plug for my Patreon family out there and for YouTube channel members, because you will get it after it's live. We decided to do it. We had numerous requests on Patreon. Tomorrow night at 10:05 p.m. on the Patreon Discord, Patreon Forbidden Door goes down. Kevin Castle will be joining me. We are going to talk mostly WrestleMania. And I know for a fact that he is one that believes that Roman Reigns is going to go 1,000 days, that Cody Rhodes is going to lose at WrestleMania. So that'll probably be an interesting debate to go down tomorrow. But, you know, we'll continue this conversation on Saturday, you and I. But I just don't see it. I don't see it. So anyway, we're going to talk about Raw tonight. We're going to talk about all the news and rumors regarding WrestleMania 39. A couple of ratings, you know, we got to get into, including the Impractical Jokers with MJF on it. Remember, that went down this week also. I got that rating. And something else I find very interesting over the last 2 weeks with regards to ratings. Is it coincidence? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's coincidence. I think it's strategic, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And yes, we are going to discuss some news that came out today. I guess, you know what, before we get into Raw, because look, Raw was kind of flat tonight. So to really open up with that, I think would be a little bit irresponsible. Let me talk about a couple of news tidbits first. And one thing that I really want to talk about right at the beginning, and I'm going to say something, I know it's going to upset a lot of people, and please do not take what I'm going to say out of context, and don't misconstrue what I'm going to say. But I have to throw it out there because I think it's such common sense and necessity at this point. I'm a little surprised that it hasn't happened. Did you see what happened the last 24, 48 hours with Ridge Holland? Do you see? For people that don't know, we just passed the one-year anniversary of Big E suffering the broken neck. In fact, you know, not to really intertwine the two together, but if you want to talk about anniversaries, we just passed, I think today, the three-year anniversary of WWE in the pandemic era. Remember the SmackDown? First SmackDown in the pandemic with Triple H and Michael Cole hosted the empty building. That happened 3 years ago today. Amazing that it's already 3 years. Unbelievable when you think about it. But let's get back to Ridge Holland for a minute. We just passed the one-year anniversary of Big E suffering a broken neck. And we know it was a terrible accident. You know, we know how awful Ridge Holland felt and still does. And, you know, it was an accident. I think everybody, you know, agrees. And, you know, how many times have I said on these shows over the last maybe 7 or 8 months to hear the crowd open up to Ridge Holland and accept him, especially under those circumstances, even though it was an accident, it was a beautiful thing to see. It was an accident. It's very easy for me to say that because I'm not the one injured. But, you know, especially when the Brawling Brutes started catching fire and feuding with Imperium and everything like that, to hear the fans really cheer for this guy, you know, made me feel good to an extent. Because, you know, I always think back to D'Lo Brown and Draws. And that was, again, an unfortunate accident. And the one thing that was tormenting D'Lo Brown early on was that people were going to, you know, it was going to ruin him. Not just career-wise, but it was going to, you know, people taking out and haunted him, and it was just a terrible accident. Thank God, you know, people came to senses and understood that even though it's somebody that you beloved and is very, very popular and just an overall beautiful man, you know, that doesn't make Ridge Holland any more guilty. And that's what's been going on for the last day or so. Ridge Holland does not talk about what happened with Big E. The man has gone through a year of a lot of, you know, hate because of it. I mean, look, I don't justify it. I understand why fans are angry. I think fans deep down inside understand it's an accident. But for a whole year, you know, this guy has endured this. Well, now since we just passed the one-year anniversary, he's getting death threats. His family is being harassed. There are, it's and even like trying to cost him his job, I think we're past that. But the death threats are very, very serious. And this is not just Twitter stuff. You know, I've talked about this in the past. And it was interesting watching Undertaker with Ariel Helwani, who just did an interview with him. And if you have not seen it yet, you have to go out of your way. Go out of your way and watch the interview that Ariel Helwani did with The Undertaker. It's excellent. It's going to piss off some, you know, AEW fans and maybe some fans that don't like The Undertaker when he addresses, you know, the young guys of today and how they don't take their characters, you know, very seriously, even outside the ring. There's a lot of topics they get into. But the thing is that, you know, Undertaker's also talking about how people, you know, like when something happens, like their first reaction is to pick up their phone and connect to Twitter instead of calling 911. And how many times have we had that discussion on these shows? When you see podcasters online, my family's been threatened, my wife has been threatened, somebody is going to dox my son's info, somebody's going to do this and that. And you remember that one guy, I'm not going to mention his name here, but there was a guy that made those outrageous claims. And the one thing that really stuck to my craw was there was no hint whatsoever that he called the cops, did a cyber security complaint, FBI, nothing. You know, the way that this guy, they wouldn't threaten to kill his kids. So me, I took it upon myself as a civilian and filed a complaint for him. And I posted the proof and I let him know privately. Do you know to this day, I never even got from him, even privately, hey man, thank you for looking out. Not even that. You know why? Because I'm convinced to this day that that was all bullshit lie. That was just put attention on me. It's warped and it's disgusting. It's like those people that claim that they were beat up in a subway and then you find out it never happened. They just, is this weirdness going on. But, you know, when I see these things go on online, the first instinct is let me tweet about it instead of letting me call the fucking cops. You know, I've gotten a couple of threats in my lifetime and I was labeled a pussy for calling the cops. I didn't give a shit. I called the cops. Problem solved. Problem solved. I never pressed charges because, you know, the situations went away. But still, it's not fun. It's scary. Ridge Holland, it's beyond Twitter. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but it's that serious. So these death threats are not just empty bullshit on Twitter. It's actually gone that further. Now, there's a lot of people who have stepped up in the last 24 hours in the world of pro wrestling to step up for Ridge Holland. And even Xavier Woods just wrote today, this afternoon, Xavier Woods wrote this, said, pro wrestling is extremely dangerous. All of us involved understand that. Ridge and his family do not deserve to be treated this way. Please do not send any hate towards them. Instead, use your energy to do something positive by sending love to Big E. Be kind. Please be kind. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. If you love and care about Big E so much, show him love. Don't show the other person hate. So, what was I going to say that might upset some people? This is over 24 hours already. And I don't understand why Big E has not said anything public about it. I'm a little surprised. I mean, look, I'm not going to tell someone what to say or do. I could only imagine the pain physically, emotionally, you know, whatever he's got. I could only imagine. And this guy is precious. He's beautiful. Big E is everything good. But if I could express an opinion, if I were Big E, it might help to just say to everyone, listen, I appreciate all your love and support and, you know, and I'm good. But please, that's not the right way to go about it. I think people out there need him to step up. And I'm a little surprised over the last 36 hours, 24 hours, whatever it is, that he's liked a couple of tweets about other stuff that have nothing to do with even wrestling. So it's not like, oh, well, maybe he's been off social media the last couple of days. No, nothing mentioned. So I'm hoping that he says something public. Listen, even if he doesn't, you know, he's not doing anything wrong. I think it's worth a shot. The problem you got to understand is when you got people out there making death threats, there's something missing up there already. They're a couple of eggs short of a dozen. You know, the knives are not as sharp as you think they are. So even if Big E went out there and said, listen, guys, this is not the way, you know, don't do this. Some of these people aren't going to listen. You know, their mentality's already warped. So why are they going to listen? So I'm not saying that he has to do it, but I think it would help. Just expressing an opinion, not throwing any shade whatsoever. But, you know, I got to say it that way because, you know, people like the twist. I mean, you see what goes on social media. So I wanted to mention that because it's a lot more serious than you think. It's not just simple Twitter shit. All right. A couple other things that we got to talk about. Bray Wyatt. It's a big story, and I'm not going to lie to you. My first reaction to it was, most of you out there didn't want to see Bobby Lashley versus Bray Wyatt anyway. A lot of you out there think that the Bray Wyatt return has been a failure. So why are people so angry about what transpired today? I don't understand that. Is it just a reason to shit on Vince? We just had this conversation yesterday. You know, back in the TNA days, it was blame Russo. Now they blame a different Vince. Anything controversial, anything negative, anything that smells like shit or sour, now it's blame Vince. This is blame Russo all over again, just with a different Vince. So, what am I talking about with Bray Wyatt? Okay. Earlier today, some erroneous reports came out there that Bray Wyatt took his ball and went home. Just to say it bluntly. That he no-showed the Raw event at Madison Square Garden over the weekend. Nothing was done on SmackDown Friday. And if you remember this show 1 week ago, we had that conversation. And what did we say 1 week ago? I don't think they should have Bobby Lashley and Bray Wyatt on that Friday SmackDown. Wait until tonight's Raw and push it further. So when they didn't do anything on SmackDown Friday, I was kind of happy about it. Because it's felt flat so far. I mean, as much as I love Bray Wyatt, as much as I'm happy that he's back in wrestling, Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley just isn't working. Remember early on, people thought it was going to be the Wyatt family versus the Hurt Business? At this point, I would take that in a heartbeat. But this has really gone nowhere. And remember the White Rabbit and Jefferson's airplane and the music and everything that was different with the QR codes and Uncle Howdy, revel in what you are and this and that. And then after all of that, the road to WrestleMania, we got the Firefly Funhouse again and the working out and the dancing. And I'm not against that, but I'm saying to myself, why did we come back here? And please don't give me the, oh, Vince is in charge and everything like that. I think that was the plan all along. I think it was the plan all along. Six shades of Bray. I've been saying six shades of Bray since day one. But, why Bobby Lashley? Because Brock Lesnar said no? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Remember, Bray Wyatt challenged Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. Brock said, no, I don't want that. And they went to Bobby Lashley instead. So we're at the point now where this match is just a hot mess. So now Fightful, that I subscribe to their Patreon, and you know they're probably one of the most reliable places out there. No one is 100%. Not everybody is easy to deal with online. I see the fights that a lot of people have with each other. I stay out of it. I don't want fights with nobody. I try to get along with everybody. But, you know, they basically went and did some research, investigating. They contacted people. That's what I've always said. Did you ever notice all these websites You never ever hear them say, we reached out to Kenny Omega for comment and received none. We reached out to CM Punk for comment and received none. We reached out to Bray Wyatt. We reached out to WWE. We reached out to this and received no reply. You never ever read that. You read words that end in L-Y, likely, supposedly, probably, most definitely, just words like that. So Fightful took it upon themselves and contacted people within WWE. And what they were told was that Bray Wyatt has an illness. Bray Wyatt went home about 10 days ago with an illness. We don't know what that illness is. Could be COVID. Honestly, when I first heard the physical issue, you know what I thought? I thought of this. Anybody remember this? How many brought that up today? Almost nobody. This was only, what, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? You know, his fingers have been pretty fucked up. And he's been wrapping him with tape and this and that. And I thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, something happened. Maybe he started losing feeling and maybe they had to get surgery. Maybe his hand blew up like a balloon, you know, because, you know, you can't just, you know, suck it up. You know, you could fuck yourself up, especially when you're a heavy person and you have, you know, maybe some issues with circulation and you're overweight. If you have a little blood pressure problems, there's a lot of things tied to it. So I thought it was that. I thought it was that, but apparently it's not. Apparently, it's an illness. I don't know what the illness is. It could be COVID. It could be anything. So the point is that, you know, do I think that Bray Wyatt just packed his bag and went home because people perceive that Vince is in charge? Until I actually hear that from somebody close to Bray Wyatt or Bray Wyatt himself, I'm not going to buy into it. You know, we don't know. It could be that. It may not be that. It may be that, but we don't know. The only thing that I know is that every website earlier were writing things based on emotion, based on assumption, based on observation. You know, they hear, oh, Vince isn't back. Oh, look at this crappy storyline. Look at this and that. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Back in September, October, November, December, we were pointing out a lot of the bullshit finishes that kept happening over and over again with a lot of the matches. How some people were being way grossly underutilized. That some of the people that Triple H brought back, and everybody's like Booker of the Year, and they're putting that fucking Muppet that's holding like this, like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, yo, Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And you look at a lot of people that they brought back, and it hasn't worked out much at all. And yeah, I will say the dirty word. You know, you may start thinking to yourself, you know, maybe Vince actually has a point as why some of these people were let go. You know, I saw today Bronson Reed had a match against Elias, squashed him. I like Bronson Reed. I watched him in NXT. I watched him in Impact. I watched his stuff in Japan. The guy's a monster. But he is not connected with the WWE Universe. You watch that today. And listen, let's also be honest. That crowd tonight, with the exception of a couple of moments, that crowd was kind of flat. Go watch the opening of Raw tonight between Edge and Finn Balor before the Hell in a Cell announcement. Everything that they said, the crowd was fucking dead. They were dead. And I purposely wrote in my notes early on, I said, this crowd is very weak. This was 6-7 minutes into Raw. Dead. And I'm like, what the fuck? You're like, show some energy. Now, once Hell in a Cell was announced, then they livened up a little bit. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, with the Bray Wyatt stuff, you know, Fightful's the only person, the only entity that actually said, we contacted personnel in WWE. We reached out. We reached out. Everyone else, nobody wrote that. So I have to take what they said at the most reliable, because they're the only ones that actually reached out. Everybody else is reacting to tweets. You're going to see tons of shit being said and written tonight about this Bray Wyatt stuff. And just be aware that 95% of it is not based on any connection, any source, no report. It's just Bray Wyatt packed his bag and went home. Says who? Says who? Who reported that? Please tell me who reported that. Nobody reported that. So I have to go based on what Fightful reported. And honestly, Bobby Lashley is pissed. And I don't blame Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley wrote this on Twitter tonight. He said, I've worked too hard to be denied. I will be ready to fight on the biggest stage of them all, WrestleMania. I don't care who it is. Somebody will feel the wrath of the Almighty. He's pissed. He's pissed. Because this buildup, even if Bray didn't have an illness, is falling flat. It hasn't worked. I don't think any of us, and the only reason why I don't crap on the idea of Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley is this. None of us in a million years ever thought that Bray Wyatt was going to have his first feud with LA Knight. And to me, LA Knight is benefited from it big time. I don't know if Bray Wyatt did, but LA Knight definitely benefited from it. LA Knight cutting some awesome promos at that time, and he stood toe-to-toe. But early on, everybody was like, holy shit, this fucking feud is great. Wow, this is before the Pitch Black match and everything. It ended up, you know, pretty lousy. Nobody in a million years ever expected those two guys to feud. So I keep a little bit of an open mind with Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley. But as of right now, we don't know what's going to happen at Mania with Bobby Lashley, with Bray Wyatt. Remember, we're still 3 weeks away, a little less than 3 weeks away. Rey Mysterio and Dominic has not been made official as of yet. There are a few other matches that still have not been made official and we're less than 3 weeks away. So if Bobby Lashley ends up fighting with Bray Wyatt after all, I got news for you. That might be better. Do you remember, what year was it, guys? Maybe someone in the chat room that really knows what they're talking about. What year was it? It was very recently, where there was nothing for John Cena at WrestleMania. And week after week after week after week, there was all these rumors that John Cena is doing something at WrestleMania. We don't know what it is. And they literally waited until WrestleMania for him to actually do whatever he was going to do. 2018 against The Undertaker. Thank you, guys. 2018. Does anybody remember that? Up until WrestleMania, John Cena, the biggest star of the last 20 years. And up until Showtime, nothing. So, honestly, I feel bad for Bobby Lashley. I don't feel so bad for Bray Wyatt. And I know that sounds crappy, but only because this has fallen flat. And, you know, what people need to understand is if you don't like how little Bray Wyatt's been used since he's returned, don't blame him. Have some balls and blame Triple H. Have some balls and blame WWE management. That's the fucking deal they worked out with this guy. That's probably why he came back. Listen, you'll be mostly cinematic shit. It'll be mostly vignette psychological. You'll be booked to more of a psychological. You'll get paid per psychological. You know what I mean? Like, that's the deal that he agreed to. You know, you remember when Brock Lesnar, several years ago, would disappear from TV for 2-3 months at a time? You remember all of that? People were getting pissed off at Brock Lesnar. Don't blame him. Blame WWE. They're the ones that inked the deal that said you only have to appear once every 7 weeks. And he was the fucking champion. So I blame this on WWE. I don't blame it on Vince. I don't blame it on Triple H. I blame it on WWE. Because they're the ones that agreed to this deal. And who does Bobby Lashley face at WrestleMania? That's the question. Does he just lay somebody out? Maybe. Does he fight with Uncle Howdy? Do we maybe need an Uncle Howdy reveal to make up for this? Maybe. Would they dare do something stupid and have Uncle Howdy be revealed to be Bray Wyatt? Maybe. We don't know. But all I know is that I hope Bobby Lashley gets something good at WrestleMania. I really do. Because I could almost guarantee that most of you out there really thought that Bobby Lashley was going to get a much stronger match. I think that's the right way to put it. Most of us thought it was going to be Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. And you look at it in hindsight and you say to yourself, why did we not get that match at WrestleMania? I mean, I know they wanted to go over the top with Elimination Chamber. That's why we got Brock versus Bobby Lashley early. But you mean to tell me that adding that to Elimination Chamber made that much more of a difference? And look what's happened in WrestleMania right now. You got Omos versus Brock, which, look, some people are interested. I'm interested. You know, after seeing Omos versus Braun Strowman in Saudi Arabia, I said, you know, I'm going to give the guy benefit of the doubt because he put on a decent performance. If we get that Omos against Brock Lesnar, I think it'll be good. I mean, if we get, with all due respect, everyone, if we get this, where is it? If we get this Omos, that's painful. That's painful. Rojo Bear with the five spot. He's not going to lie. He'd rather see Bobby Lashley versus Bronson Reed. I think more than one person has actually written that, super chatted that tonight. I think you and someone else, because I saw Bronson Reed's name mentioned earlier. Rojo Bear would like to see Lashley versus Bronson Reed. And who's this? This is Ronnie C. Do I think Bobby Lashley should face Bronson Reed at WrestleMania? I don't know. Put Otis in there. Make it a three-way. Give me Bobby Lashley versus Otis versus Bronson Reed, and then I'll be happy. Because, listen, Bronson Reed is not over with WWE Universe. He put on an impressive showing at Elimination Chamber. And what did they do since then? They had him going up and doing stuff with Rick Boogs and Elias. I mean, did that help Bronson Reed at all? Does it feel like there was any momentum whatsoever? Why couldn't Bronson Reed maybe squash Baron Corbin? I know he's not a babyface, but do you remember his interaction with Miz? He's his own guy. He's not a babyface. He's not a heel. They did not help Bronson Reed after Elimination Chamber. So even though I think that would be interesting, I don't think the WWE Universe in droves would be interested in seeing that. Listen, if the WWE Universe was really interested in Bronson Reed, they would have had some reaction tonight. The crowd was the crowd was dead for a lot of points of Raw tonight, but they were extra dead during that Bronson Reed match. You could blame some of that on Elias as well, but Bronson Reed repeatedly is getting no reaction whatsoever. And yeah, that match we know would be decent, but I don't even know if I want to see that versus. And here's another thing to think about. This is something that I think Ronnie, Rojo Bear, and some of you others probably haven't thought about. Who's going to go over on that? Especially under the circumstances. You're going to tell Bobby Lashley, look, we'll put you against Bronson Reed instead. Oh, and by the way, you're going to lose too. Would you have Bronson Reed lose to Bobby Lashley? No. No. I mean, they'd rather have Bronson Reed squash people and win than take on somebody stronger and lose. So the problem is who goes out on top. And I know what some people will say, oh, Bobby Lashley doesn't need to win. I agree. But especially under these circumstances, you know, in WrestleMania, I mean, that's some, you know, serious shit. That's the biggest event of the year. And Bobby Lashley, after working his ass off and doing everything and doing it right, he's not only left with this, as of now, he's left with nothing. So we'll see what happens, guys. But I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned of what's going to happen. Look, like I said, for all we know, Bobby Lashley and Bray Wyatt could still face each other at WrestleMania. Not every match has been set yet. But, and look, if it was an illness, who knows? Maybe Bray Wyatt will be on SmackDown. Maybe he'll be on Raw next week. I don't know. But one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to assume something, because if I'm wrong, you know, then I'm just pissing in the wind. You know, I'll react to what's available. And honestly, right now, that's the only thing that's available. So speaking of LA Knight, we might get him as a co-host of WrestleMania. That's something you and I have talked about for the last 2 weeks. It may happen. Tonight, on multiple occasions, they teased the co-host for The Miz. And after LA Knight's loss tonight, I don't think LA Knight's going to have a match at WrestleMania. Now, a lot of people are reporting this tonight that a match that was seriously considered for WrestleMania was LA Knight versus Steve Austin. This was a legit match that they were considering for WrestleMania. And I'll be honest with you, I think that would have been fucking sweet. I think that would have been awesome. The problem is LA Knight has had, you know, not the strongest momentum. You want LA Knight, you want this perception that LA Knight's going to beat Steve Austin. LA Knight had an awesome match tonight against Cody Rhodes, but he lost. He doesn't have momentum going into WrestleMania. That's why I feel more and more that even in defeat tonight, I think he ends up possibly being the co-host with The Miz. And you want to know something? There's no rush for LA Knight. LA Knight is organically getting more over as every week goes by. You know, you pay close attention to some of the crowd reactions. That guy is getting over. And it's organic. Nothing is being forced. Hell, sometimes when he loses, he gets even more over because the fans are frustrated. Like, why the fuck does this guy keep losing? You know, a lot of those street fights against Bray Wyatt at the house shows, fans were not happy that he kept losing over and over and over and over again. So after the fact that he lost to Cody today, I think that kind of solidifies more the possibility that he ends up being a co-host for WrestleMania. And I would love that. I think that would be awesome. Have Miz and LA Knight battling it out promos-wise. I think that would be good. I think the crowd would get behind LA Knight. I think they would actually boo the Miz because they would have to make a choice. I mean, you don't want both of them, you know, shitting on, you know, the fans. I think LA Knight would put over WrestleMania because it's in Los Angeles. You can't have WrestleMania, WrestleMania in LA without LA Knight. It fits itself. You don't even have to do any work. I mean, it just makes sense. Sometimes things just make so much sense. You don't need to force it. So we will see. I agree, Psycho. LA Knight is absolutely, he's money. He's money. All right, a couple other things to get into. Your next WWE Hall of Fame inductee is going to be announced Wednesday on The Bump. And the person that is going to reveal the next inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame is none other than the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Some people early on social media thought that, oh no, Ric Flair is going to be on The Bump, but he doesn't have anything to do with the announcement. Well, I would not, you know, I would not like just look at the banner and just assume that. You have to actually watch Raw because they actually said that Ric Flair is going to reveal who's going in. I think it's pretty obvious who the person is going to be. It's going to be the Great Muta. It's going to be the Great Muta. I know a lot of you out there thought Batista because of Evolution. And honestly, that is an excellent, smart choice. The reason why it's going to be Great Muta, in my opinion, is that there's no one else in WWE that has that direct, storied career feud battles with him. You know, Sting would be the perfect choice, but Sting is obviously working for AEW. Ric Flair talking about the history with the Great Muta. You know, I know some people said, oh, Shinsuke could induct him. Shinsuke, you know, his English is not, you know, and even if it was perfect, they don't have him talk like that on camera all that much. Ric Flair, in my opinion, is going to induct the Great Muta. So I know Sting's in the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know. Maybe I didn't say it clear enough. My apologies. Sting would be the perfect person to induct the Great Muta, but Sting is working in AEW right now. And even if AEW said, Sting, go induct Muta, I don't think WWE would want that visual. Even though I know what you're going to say, you know, as far as the past, I get it. So I think Ric Flair is going to induct the Great Muta. Maybe it's not. But all I'm going to say is this. If Great Muta is going in the Hall of Fame, who is going to reveal him? You know what I mean? Ric Flair is going to be the mouthpiece to sell us why Great Muta deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. That's how I look at it. So, all right. I got a little, it's not really exclusive. I just did my research. All right. I got an update for you regarding Sonya Deville and this gun arrest that she had in Jersey. couple of things that I found out, and I did verify it. I did some research. I confirmed it before I shared it with all of you. And she is scheduled to be back in court this week. What a lot of you don't know is she also got a traffic ticket like a day or two before this all went down. Just mentioning that to you. Nothing major, just a minor traffic infraction. But it looks like this is going to likely be thrown out. And the person that will likely be the one to get this thrown out or chopped down to a traffic ticket. Because remember we talked last time about Graves' Law and what happens in Jersey with some of these tickets. From what I understand, Sonya Deville's fiance, she lives in Jersey. And Sonya Deville has been, I don't want to say residing, it's not a permanent residence, but Sonya Deville has been staying on the East Coast in addition to Florida. So it, even though, and remember what I said, if you move to Jersey or from another state, you know, you obviously have to ultimately get a permit in that state. But I think what everything's going to come down to is she's going to show residence in Jersey, and I think this is going to get chopped down to a traffic infraction. You know, she already resolved the other traffic infraction, and believe me when I tell you, I'm not going to say what it was or how much she paid, but it was peanuts. It was almost nothing. So this week, I expect this case to be moved to a different court, and they chop it down to nothing. So I seriously would be shocked beyond belief if she ends up, you know, facing this, because it's a second degree felony, I believe. I think it's a second degree felony. You know, it's something that, you know, that you really could have a lot of problems with. You know, Graves' Law in Jersey is some serious shit. I mean, we don't need to get into all that again, but by Saturday, I might have another update for you. So, you know, and, you know, I have some connections and I have some resources because of the line of work that I'm in, and I utilize some of them. So, all right, speaking of shocked, I'm going to be honest with you. I was shocked today that WWE went ahead and made this match for WrestleMania. Tonight on Raw, we had Edge open up Raw with Finn Balor. He, you know, calls out Finn Balor. Finn Balor comes out with Judgment Day. You know, they're exchanging some insults, some jokes early on. Once again, EMO, the Emo Delight, you know, the references to goth and emo and all that shit. But Edge, again, I'm running out of time. And a couple of weeks ago, Finn Balor challenged him to a match at WrestleMania. Edge accepts. Edge has another proposal. And I am shocked. I'm very surprised that they went with this. Edge will be taking on Finn Balor at Hell in a Cell. I freaking love it. And I know some of you out there also said it should be Hell in a Cell. I honestly, where the event is taking place, I was very surprised that they're going to do Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania. But they are. All I could say at this point is this has to be the end of the feud. This has to be the end of the feud. That's it. But you know why I'm even happier? Because there's no retirement stipulation attached to this. You know, this running out of time, you know, he has gone on record, Edge, and said 2023 is his final year in the ring. And as you and I have talked about, let that be December of 2023, not April of 2023. And that could still happen. After Hell in a Cell, the match is over, Edge could retire. You know, could you imagine if he takes his boots off and leaves him in the ring? Like Undertaker, people crying at night. You know, I got very emotional as well. Because you could feel when someone is just making a statement or someone, and I'm still, until that match is over, like I'm still going to be in the back of my mind, like I hope this is not his last match. I'm really, really hoping that Christian gets his way back to WWE before 2023 is up. Hey, look, they just had that burial match at AEW Revolution. Nobody knows what Christian's future is going to be. We've talked about that numerous times already, way before the pay-per-view even happened. So Hell in a Cell is going down. That is a huge, huge match. You know what I'm a little surprised of? How come not one person? I'm sure people have talked about it, but I don't see it. How come not one person is speaking out and complaining that Damian Priest has nothing? I mean, you think about it. Damian Priest has no match at WrestleMania, no feud, nothing, zero. And you would think, I mean, look, there's no rush, so to speak. I mean, Damian Priest, they can make it his year next year, but nothing. Believe me, I thought about Bobby Lashley versus Damian Priest, but that's out of nowhere. That is really out of nowhere. Unless you want to have Judgment Day feud with the Hurt Business, and that's kind of a little bit of a kink because there's no female star in the Hurt Business. Although, remember the scenario I talked about that if Rhea Ripley wins the SmackDown Women's Championship, we may end up seeing a split of Judgment Day, that Dom and Mammy will be on SmackDown and Finn Balor and Damian Priest will be on Raw. You know, and yeah, maybe the draft fixes that problem. Maybe they split up for a few months until the draft happens. But, you know, it's something you got to keep in the back of your mind, that if Rhea Ripley wins that women's championship, you know, the Judgment Day members are Raw. She's on SmackDown. Yeah, there's a little issue there. Nobody's thinking about. So, all right. So after Edge makes the challenge, Finn Balor says, I'll see you at WrestleMania, but, you know, for tonight, you know, they got other plans. Judgment Day hits the ring. They start attacking Edge. And they're saved by Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano, and Dexter Lumis because they had a match scheduled for tonight. We go to commercial. We come back. It was a fun match. Rhea Ripley getting involved. Ultimately, Dominic did not get the pin this time around, although we thought he was after the frog splash. But Damian Priest, the move of the night, in my opinion, other than throwing Trish Stratus into that tool thing in the back, the move of the night was Damian Priest's chokeslam to Dexter Lumis. You got to go back and you got to see that. Fucking Dexter Lumis must have been about 8 feet in the air. It was beautiful. It's one of those chokeslams that I will remember all year. If you didn't pay close attention to it, go out of your way and watch the move. It was spectacular. But Gargano and Lumis lose, and Gargano's going to be on NXT tomorrow. So, you know, maybe Grayson Waller will have some fun with him. Oh, you lost yesterday on Raw, you know. We've got a backstage segment from earlier in the day. Miz is going to get interviewed, and they teased Miz. What do you think about having a co-host? Before Miz could flip out, you see Trish Stratus being attacked by Damage Control, and Becky Lynch and Lita do not show up till about 2 hours later. Conspiracy theorists online believe, oh, they showed up late. Trish is going to turn on them. No, they just need to add heat as to why Trish wants to beat the balls off of Damage Control at WrestleMania. And how do you attack Trish and leave her laying if she's with Becky and Lita all the time and they don't want to leave them laying yet? So I didn't think that was a big deal. But Trish, you got to see her. She gets thrown face first into this toolbox. That motherfucker took a bump, back bump, that I'm like, wow, like three quarters of that roster, AEW and WWE combined, wouldn't even take it that good. You got to see it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I would love to play it here, but I don't want to take any chances with copyright shit anymore. So we get the face-to-face with Omos. Children warning, if you're under 18, you might want to turn away for a moment. MVP and Omos hit the ring. You'll see why in a minute. MVP and Omos hit the ring. They start yapping a little bit. Brock Lesnar comes out. And when they were face-to-face in the ring, the crowd was chanting, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And that's where the high was with this. After that, it went downhill. We had, Omos, just, sticks his fist out. Remember that thumbnail that I made a couple of months ago with Tom and Jerry? I put Jerry Mouse inside the fist of Omos. He takes his fist, and next to Brock Lesnar, it really doesn't look that big of a deal. Now, you see them like this. Yeah, that is pretty impressive. And the fans were chanting, holy shit, and chanting Suplex City. Then he takes his fist. And then, I don't know where this came from, but I don't know. Does that look like what I think it is, everyone? What the fuck? No, somebody photoshopped that. It was not a sex toy. He just put the fist in the face of Brock Lesnar. And then Omos extends his hand. Brock Lesnar shakes his hand. Omos don't want to break the handshake. Brock is trying to pull back. So like a bad cartoon, Brock steps on Omos's foot. Omos is hopping around. And then Omos gets a little offense and tries to clothesline Brock over the top rope. And did not land all that well. Like I said, towards the end of Raw tonight, they did a beautiful edit job. But it did not look good. And the worst part about it is Brock is retreating. And they're trying to sell it that, you know, Brock is a little concerned, a little intimidated. Omos, the 7-foot giant. We needed a pull apart tonight. We needed anger. We needed that Brock Lesnar where his face gets pink like a newborn baby's ass. Like, you know when Brock really gets pissed off and his eyebrows somehow turn white? You ever see that? Sometimes with his blood pressure, like his whole face turns pink and around his eyebrows, they're like white as a ghost. We didn't get that tonight, unfortunately. And ultimately, this kind of fell flat, let's be honest. All right, Cody Rhodes over LA Knight, as I told you earlier, match was great. After the match is over, Cody Rhodes gets on the mic, cuts my favorite promo that he has done since his WWE return. He addresses Paul Heyman, and he says that he doesn't work for the bloodline. If he wants to stand side by side with Sami Zayn, he will. If he wants to stand side by side with Kevin Owens, he will. And then he just gets very, very passionate. And he talks about how it was a joke for Paul Heyman to say, don't make this personal. He says everything about it is personal. It's been personal since I broke into this business. Then Cody, just with this passionate rant, that he says that I go out here and I don't wear a suit because I'm somebody. I wear a suit because I want to be someone. And he says, you know, everybody wants me to acknowledge Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman. I acknowledge you, damn it. I acknowledge you, Roman Reigns, damn it. You need to acknowledge me. And it worked. And then that's when he said on April 2nd, when the sun goes down, Roman Reigns' championship reign will come to an end. I've waited too long. On April 2nd, he will be the first Rhodes to become the WWE Undisputed Unified Universal Champion. And kisses the ring before he leaves it. The crowd fucking loved it. I loved every minute of it. Later on, Kevin Owens cuts a promo. Kevin Owens, very simple tonight. Kevin Owens probably cut the second best promo tonight, and his was so simple. Look, I needed help against the bloodline. I wanted help against the bloodline, and I didn't get it. That's why I don't want it now. And Cody, I heard what you said earlier. I don't want your help either. Let me do this by myself. So Cody bringing up Kevin Owens earlier is the segue. Starting next week, you will see the split. And then ultimately, you will see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens reunite. They both realize that they need each other. Tonight, as they closed out Raw, they kind of led to that. So I don't want to go out of order because we're pretty close to start wrapping up Raw a little bit. We got a little bit of caca. As I said earlier, Bronson Reed squashes Elias. Almost no time at all. We had a backstage segment. Really unnecessary. Now, next week, Logan Paul is going to host his Impulsive show in the ring. Miz is going to be there as well. And obviously, Seth Rollins is going to crash that party. Baron Corbin, because they need somebody to squash Baron Corbin right now. Corbin shows up, hey, I'm not doing nothing. And Seth Rollins starts insulting him a little bit. And this leads to a match between the two later on. Seth Rollins beats Baron Corbin comfortably. Miz is at ringside, you know, just to hype up the fact that Impulsive is going to go down next week. That's Logan Paul's talk show. It's going to be in the ring next week. Paul Heyman is there, and Paul Heyman reveals that next Monday, Cody Rhodes wants to be acknowledged. Next Monday, you will be acknowledged because Roman Reigns will be on Raw next Monday, and Roman Reigns and Cody will be face-to-face, and you will see it get physical. I guarantee you it will get physical. We get another video from earlier in the day. This one has to do with the Street Profits and Austin Theory. This is to set up a match where Austin Theory beats Angelo Dawkins tonight. After the match is over, Austin Theory locks the STF on Angelo Dawkins. Montez Ford runs down to the ring, makes the save. But the interesting thing early on, and I'm telling you, this is going to be a feud after WrestleMania. I think Montez Ford and Austin Theory are going to be feuding because Montez Ford, you always talk about the smoke. Every time you bring up the smoke, all you do is choke. And he was really throwing a lot of dirt at the Street Profits. And then Austin Theory, right before he walks off from that little verbal confrontation, Austin Theory's like, hey, you know, what are you guys doing at WrestleMania? Oh, that's right. You don't have anything for WrestleMania. I think Montez Ford and Austin Theory is going to be a feud right after WrestleMania. But Austin Theory, once again, looking like $1 million, wrestling, you know, excellent, promo, confidence, it's all there. He's killing it. He's killing it. He's been doing it for a while. Speaking of killing it, I'm sorry. I know some people still disagree with me, but in my opinion, this man is still killing it. Dominic Mysterio. I still remember that Raw where I put in the synopsis. It was the coming out party of Austin Theory and Dominic Mysterio. That night, people will ultimately pick up on and reference it in the future. That night was the turning point for both Austin Theory and Dominic Mysterio. Rey Mysterio comes down to the ring. Obviously, we talked about it over the weekend. He is the latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. So he comes down to the ring, and he is interrupted by Dominic Mysterio once again. And Dom getting the what chance and not phasing him at all. You know, you earn the Hall of Fame at the expense of him, that you chose these strangers over your own children. You ditched me for WrestleMania. What? When I was 16, what? You promised me a brand new car. What? And all my friends showed up with Mercedes. What? And you gave me a BMW, and it wasn't even an M Series, which will probably piss off Michael Cole because I know Michael Cole has a BMW. Don't ask me how I know that. I remember seeing it once. I was like, ah, that's a pretty cool car. I like BMWs. And he says, I see you for what you really are, a sad, ugly excuse for a father, an ugly excuse for a man. I'm going to let you enjoy your Hall of Fame in L.A., but I challenge you to a match at WrestleMania. Sounds like Andre the Giant. I challenge you to the match at WrestleMania. Ray challenges Dominic. Dominic looks at him. Son, I know you. See, I can't do it. The last time I didn't think about it, people were like, holy shit, that was an awesome Dominic Mysterio impersonation. Rey Mysterio person. Rey Mysterio is looking at his son tonight. He's like, son, you know, as much as you don't want to believe this, I still love you. But I'm not fighting you at WrestleMania. And Dominic walks out of the ring. Rey walks out of the ring, and Dominic is on the mic. And he's like, yeah, you do what you do best. You ran away from Raw, you ran away from your family, and you ran away from me. The only thing that you ever taught me is what not to do. And we're thinking, uh-oh, is that what's going to force Rey to turn around? Nah, Dominic's going to have to do something. Unfortunately, I think to the potted plant, he may have to do something to Angie. Or, you know, and I'm not saying Rhea Ripley either. Something else is going to... Some people think, and I think this is ridiculous, but it's possible. Some people think that Dominic versus Rey will not be announced until the night of the Hall of Fame the day before WrestleMania because Dominik will crash Rey's Hall of Fame induction, and then that will lead to the match at WrestleMania. I don't know how I feel about that. You know the match is happening. It's definitely happening. But I don't know how I feel about waiting until the Hall of Fame ceremony to announce it. That's kind of like really, really, you know, waiting until the last minute. But, hey, anything's possible. Anything's possible. Hey, if it's done right, I'm not going to complain. So, as I showed you early on at the beginning of the show, Otis is now officially a maximum male model. And you could see Chad Gable, his heart is a little bit broken. You know, he thinks that Otis is going to go train with him. And you hear Maxxine Dupri, Otis, Otis. And Otis walks away. He kind of feel bad for Chad Gable. By the way, did you notice Chad Gable's wearing his Alpha Academy jacket tonight? Just mentioning it. Bianca Belair beats Chelsea Green. Carmella was in Chelsea's corner. After the match is over, Chelsea Green and Carmella start beating down on Bianca Belair. Then we got a segment. Either people thought it was great or they thought it sucked. Asuka shows up, makes the save. Asuka picks up Bianca's belt. And it gave me flashbacks of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Give me my belt. No, it's my belt. Give me my belt. Like, they didn't have a tug of war. But Bianca, listen, I love Bianca Belair, but to me, she sounded like a child. She sounded like a child. Like sometimes if dogs could talk, you take their toy away. Give me my toy. Like Asuka takes Bianca's belt, and Bianca sounds like a child. Like, give me that back. That's mine. Give me that back. And Asuka's looking at it, and she reminded me of Michael J. Fox when he was playing the guitar in Back to the Future. When he was crouched down and he's holding the guitar, it looked like Asuka was going to do fucking the Johnny B. Goode thing. And she's moving around and she's like this. And Bianca is like, give me my belt, give me my belt. So Asuka finally drops it and she opens her mouth and here's the blue food coloring. And Asuka starts hysterically laughing as if you thought that she opened the door and saw me naked. She started hysterically laughing that if I impersonated it now, I would have to take 5 Tylenols because her medulla oblongata had to have swollen up from that. She's laughing hysterical, and Bianca's just looking at her. And honestly, I'm looking at her like, no, this is not good. Like I said, I looked at social media's reaction. Either people loved it or they fucking hated it. I thought it was dumb. I mean, Asuka teasing Bianca, okay, I get it. But she started hysterically laughing, and it didn't hit with me, to be honest with you. So, all right, main event tonight. Solo Sikoa beats Kevin Owens in a street fight. Awesome street fight. Kevin Owens took a crazy bump towards the end of the match. We had like 6 chairs in the ring, seats down, and Solo Sikoa flips him off the top rope, right onto the chairs. People were chanting, holy shit. I mean, it deserved it. Kevin Owens has dropped some weight. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. Kevin Owens has definitely dropped about 20 pounds. You know what's funny? Like, I don't think you ever envision Kevin Owens to get jacked. You know what I mean? Like, get, like, ripped and abs and everything like that. And me, you'll never see that either. Unless I'm wearing, like, a giant Gonzalez bodysuit. But I get this weird vibe, that weird feeling that, you know, maybe it's not next year or the year after. There's going to become a point that I think he's going to turn into this crazy health nut. And he is going to get himself in insane. He doesn't need to. I'm not saying that he needs to get in. He's in shape. But there's something about it. Like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, yeah, I got this weird feeling that down the line, and I don't have anybody else, but he definitely dropped about 20 pounds. Guy could still move great. But in the end, the numbers were against him. Sammy was not coming to rescue him today. Cody Rhodes was not going to come to rescue him. Cody would have helped, but Kevin Owens said, I don't need you. I don't want your help. Okay, no problem. Towards the end of the match, Solo Sikoa and Kevin Owens start brawling into the back. as soon as Kevin Owens goes through the gorilla position, no Vince McMahon there, by the way, at the gorilla position, but the Usos are there. They super kick Kevin Owens. And man, pulling dead weight like that, shit, if they were trying out for to be a fireman, I think they would have a hard time. They fucking took Kevin Owens' arms. He's laid out on the floor. They took his arms and they dragged him from all the way from the gorilla position all the way back to the ring. Thank God Kevin Owens isn't jacked right now, because he probably would have been shirtless and there would have been burns all over the back of his body. Because you get pulled like that, even if you're wearing clothes, you probably get a little bit of burns from that. But they dragged him all the way back to the ring. Super kicks once again. Solo Sikoa with the Samoan spike. And the match is over. And because we were so close to 11 o'clock, the Usos and Solo Sikoa get out of the ring. You would have thought that they, after, even though Solo won, you would have thought that they would have finished Kevin Owens off. Beat him to a fucking pulp. But they had to get out of the ring because they were going off the air. We probably had some, you know, post-Raw antics. I expect either Cody or Sami Zayn probably did come out after Raw went off the air. But in the end, the numbers game cost Kevin Owens the win. And this is where Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to agree. That the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's really what it's going to come down to, even though they are close friends. Even though they are friends, in storyline, they don't realize it. They care. But going into that, it's going to be the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And if you thought that Sami Zayn was not public enemy number one still to the Usos, go check out the post-SmackDown videos that they posted on Twitter and that little threat that Jey Uso made to Sami Zayn. Yeah, some people think that Jey Uso is going to have tears going down his eyes, reluctant to destroy Sami. I don't think they're going to go that route anymore. I think we've passed that now where it's now Bloodline once again. So, you know, Raw had its good moments, but it had its questionable moments as well. And it had some moments that were really kind of like lousy, to be honest with you. So tomorrow on NXT, Johnny Gargano will be returning. He'll get into a Grayson Waller once again. We have Pretty Deadly against Gallus. We have Apollo Crews versus Dabba Kato. That's what I know. Oh, and we'll get the Roxanne Perez update. You know, she deserves a slammy. You know, I touched all of you out there that ripped on me for thinking that Montez Ford may have gotten legitimately injured at the Elimination Chamber, but a lot of you motherfuckers thought that Roxanne Perez legitimately collapsed. This is wrestling. This is entertainment. I was shocked at the number of people that got upset when they found out that Roxanne Perez was acting. Like, you mean that? Like, they were upset that, wow, that's tasteless. You should be happy that she was just acting and not really collapsed. You know, but people, like, really got upset at that, so it's pro wrestling. Remember, as I always say, everyone, people get that triggered over it. You know what they got to do. Eat a fucking Snickers. It'll make you feel better. All right. Couple of things before we get out of here. Got to talk about some ratings. If you are interested, This Week in Wrestling History, that will drop tomorrow in the mid-afternoon. These are some of the pictorial highlights from this week's episode. Dudley's winning their first ever title. Mae Young getting put through the table at 77 years old. Brock Lesnar's debut. A lot of audio clips. So a lot of the things you see on your screen, you will actually hear some memories. Yep, Hulk versus The Rock happened this week in history. That infamous match with Goldberg and Brock with Austin as the referee. One of the worst WrestleMania matches of all time. Crash Holly defending the hardcore title not only at Newark Airport, but at, what was that place? Funtime USA. Funtime USA. Mick Foley's Beefaroni commercial debuted. We got a lot of things to get into. Here's some more. The Vic Grimes New Jack incident. Yep. Unfortunately, we have to go there, everyone. Jeff Hardy, that infamous match in TNA when he was zooted out of his mind. You remember Randy Orton and John Cena teaming up to take on the entire WWE roster? Cena and Orton versus the entire roster. That went down this week in history. And a whole bunch of AJ Styles stuff. There's tons and tons. If you want to pause this later on and you could go examine the synopsis, these are all the audio clips of everything. You know, Mickey Rourke attends the Ring of Honor event. There's a lot of shit that went down this week in history. So a lot of WrestleMania stuff as well. A lot of good memories. And as I told you earlier, tomorrow night, 10:05, I'll be on Patreon. Also, we got a winner for last week's giveaway. If you remember, we were giving away that Foco Big Head. This is the front of it, and that is the back of it. And it's awesome. It's like 10 inches tall. You know, 10 inches. 10 inches tall. No, we're not going there. No, we're not going there. Yeah, that bobblehead is actually bigger than that. No, that's actually, no, that's bigger than 10 inches. How I know, don't ask me, but I'm digging myself a grave. All right, last week, guessed the Raw rating contest. Very, very surprised how low that rating was, even with John Cena. Last week's Raw rating did 1,827,000 viewers. That was up from the previous week. The previous week did 1,768,000. But if you would have said to me that John Cena would only add 60-some-odd thousand viewers, I'd be shocked. I was very surprised. But we did have someone who came very, very close to that number. So congratulations go out to Run DMG. Run DMG 101214. He predicted 1,800,000. So he is the winner of that Undertaker Foco Big Head Bobblehead. Reach out to me with your shipping so I can get it out to you. This Saturday, we will do the other unboxing. And next week, I think next week we got to do it. Next week, we're going to do a Guess the Ratings contest. We're going to give away this autographed Dominic Mysterio rookie card. That will be next Monday. You have to be live. You have to be in a chat room to take part. So somebody will win that autographed rookie card. Mint condition. By the way, I took a screenshot. I've gotten a lot of shout outs lately from some of you in the chat room from Australia. And I've seen Australia pop up over and over and over again. Even when I go check some of the replays and I look at the chat transcript just to see if anybody was being an asshole. You know, maybe somebody didn't catch on or, you know, see, and I see greetings from Australia, greetings from Melbourne. And, you know, I monitor to see how the shows are doing on the audio side. Now, when you look at iTunes and other places, Spotify, that's only the audio versions of what I do. That doesn't count video and ad-free and other places. So my numbers are divided and split. If I only did audio, then obviously all my numbers would be in one place. But if you add everything together, they add to some nice numbers. Well, I noticed that in Australia, Australia is really showing some love to the Don Tony show. Now, when you see that you're in company with Jeff Jarrett and FTR and Cultaholic and Dutch Mantel, I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome, man. And if you think that I photoshopped it, everyone, you could go check out Chartable, type in Australia. Hey, in the United States, I think I'm ranked number 60. I think in the UK, I'm ranked 41. So, you know, we're always in the top 100, which is awesome. You know, and people have said to me, like, would you ever stop video just to keep all your numbers on audio? I don't think so. At this point, as long as you all are enjoying this, you know, I don't have to be number one anymore. I just like consistency. So, all right. Ronda Rousey, she was supposed to perform at the Garden over the weekend. Everybody was focused on Bray Wyatt. Ronda Rousey did not perform. There is concern that Ronda Rousey's strain might be a little more serious than they expected. I expect her to be good to go for WrestleMania 39, but there is concern that it is not healing as quickly as they expected. They wanted her to do something physical this Friday on SmackDown. As of now, that is off the table. So hopefully we'll get a positive update by Friday. But, you know, Ronda Rousey, you know, there's no match for her right now. There's not even a hint of what that would be. And, you know, we thought early on, maybe it's Ronda versus Shayna Baszler. Man, that would suck to do it like literally 2 weeks before Mania. 2 weeks? You know, if you want to split them at Mania, have a falling out at Mania, okay, that's different. But, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. So, all right, looking at my synopsis, I think we covered everything else. Okay, let's talk ratings. You know me, I call it like I see it, even if it's not popular, even though if it pisses people off. I've gotten a lot of hate the last 2 weeks pointing out that Reels pulled all their advertising for MLW Underground. You see anybody reporting that? Because, hand job, they want to, you know, they want to coddle a lot of these promotions. Well, something weird has been going on the last 2 weeks, all right? I could get access to more ratings than I do already. The only thing is I'm not going to spend hundreds of dollars a month to get, like, more specific demos and everything like that. You know, I do get numbers from some people. I subscribe to some areas. I get some info here and there. But I'm not going to pay crazy money, you know, to do it. And what I've noticed is over the last 2 weeks, suddenly no one wants to reveal the quarter hour ratings for anyone except for AEW. Everything with WWE, they don't want to bring it out. We never see Impact Wrestling. We never see New Japan. We certainly don't see MLW. Impact Wrestling, here's more, there's more. Impact Wrestling and New Japan and MLW's ratings have gotten so horrible. Have you noticed no one has reported their ratings for the last 2 weeks? Have you noticed that? There's been no public numbers for MLW over the last 2 weeks. I gave you the number that I got last week, and I waited to see, you know, okay, how accurate is my source? No one has reported it. They're not, suddenly, they won't report MLW, Impact Wrestling, New Japan. They won't report quarter hour, and I promise you, as soon as people start bringing it up and talking about it, you'll see them magically pop up. That's what always happens. They suddenly, it's like they intentionally want to, like, not promote any positive momentum with WWE. That's how it comes off to me. You know, it's not just pro WWE, it's how awful these companies are doing. And over the weekend, as I said, even on yesterday, I think Reels can't wait until that 10-week deal with MLW is over with because of the court case, because of the accusations that they're making, because of all the wacky shit online. Plus, they promised him, you know, a bag of beans that they did not deliver. MLW last week didn't even do 70,000 viewers. 70 fucking thousand. And they pulled their ads 2 weeks in a row, no ads at all. So, but I do have numbers for you. First of all, Impractical Jokers with MJF on did 198,000 viewers. I don't know if that's good for Impractical Jokers or not. It sounds like a low number, but it was 198,000 viewers. Raw last week did 1,827, up from the week prior of 1,768. To me, still a very disappointing number, even with John Cena hyped. And WrestleMania, I mean, you would think. MLW, the number I got for last week, was 64,000 viewers. NXT last week did 624,000 viewers. That was for their event that they did with Roxanne Perez and Michael Santamora, Roadblock. That's up from the week before, is 555. Dynamite last week, the first Dynamite after Revolution, it only did 858, up from the previous week's 833. The high point of that show outside of the first quarter hour was the closing moments of Orange Cassidy versus Jay Lethal, the attack by Jeff Jarrett, the Ricky Starks promo, and the attack by Juice Robinson. That quarter and now segments did 962,000 viewers on average. The low point of the night, the Dark Order versus the Blackpool Combat Club, only did 728,000 viewers. The Blackpool Combat Club now is repeatedly landing in some of the lowest quarters of AEW television. Not all, but that's got to be concerning. By the way, Wednesday, we're going to throw a little scenario out there about why Brian Danielson went home. Why did he go home? Because AEW wanted to avoid the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about. The Blackpool Combat Club seemed to have turned heel. How does Brian Danielson feel about this? Well, nobody's going to bring it up because Brian Danielson is home with his family. I think down the line, we're going to have Brian Danielson feuding with John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. And, you know, yeah, we're going to talk about that Wednesday. Did you hear anybody bring that up? No. New Japan last week did 47,000 viewers. That is slightly up from the week before, is 41,000. Impact Wrestling did 94,000 viewers. That is slightly up from the week before, is 87,000. Rampage this past Friday did 447,000 viewers, up from last week's 394. The high point of the week prior was Top Flight versus the Dark Order versus the Blackpool Combat Club versus Aussie Open, which did 440,000 viewers. Still a shitty number. Emi Sakura versus Riho was the stinker of the night. They only scored 366. And SmackDown this past Friday did 2,320,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 2,451. Those are your ratings for the past 7 days. And that is your show for tonight. Now, before I go off the air, I got a little video for you. Chris Van Vliet. You know, I've apologized in the past. You know, I used to be very envious about his teeth. We used to have a funny running gag on here. What do you like this? Oh, what do you think of this? Chris Van Vliet, very, very jealous of his hair and very, very jealous of his teeth. But the one thing that you cannot deny, that motherfucker is entertaining and he does some great interviews. Question I keep getting asked from a lot of you over and over and over again is, how do Usos related to Roman Reigns? I got that asked over the weekend 3 times on the show. And Chris Van Vliet happened to post a clip. And I contacted Chris today. I'm like, Chris, is it all right if I play this for everyone? He's like, yeah, no problem. So from now on, whenever somebody out there asks me, DT, how are the Usos related to Roman Reigns? Well, here's your answer.
If I throw out a name, can you tell me exactly how you're related? Like, is that your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, whoever?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll go with something like easy, like Roman Reigns.
Aunt. Oh, man, that's messed up.
Roman's cousin. Your aunt.
First cousin. Actually, technically, Roman is our uncle. Because my dad and Roman are first cousins.
We would grow up calling, what's up, Uncle Joe?
And he's like, don't call me that. You know, we would mess with him.
Sure.
What's up, Unc?
What about Umaga?
That's my uncle. That's my dad's brother.
My dad's youngest brother.
Rosie.
Same thing. Well, we call him uncle because he's older than us.
The answer can't be uncle to all of this.
Bro, I'm telling you, you ask about our family tree, you're going to hear every branch.
Rosie is Uncle Sika's son. Rosie and Roman are brothers.
Is The Rock also your uncle?
Nah, that's cousin.
That's like distant cousin. You know we got about 47 uncles.
That's cousin.
Man, we deep.
That's cousin.
All right. So that doesn't really clear it up. Is he an uncle? Is he a cousin? Yeah. But I thought that was a funny clip. And shout out to Chris. Thank you for letting me share that. And he's like, yeah, if you want to play anything else, hey, you got to check out his YouTube channel. Actually, when I go like this, I'll post a link later for the original full interview. So I'm looking at my time, Sam, so I don't forget. So I'm going to jet out of here, everyone. We're right about 90 minutes, as we always do. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. Any questions, comments you may have? Oh, by the way, here's another plug. Next Thursday, Q&A with yours truly. We were going to do it this Thursday, but I figured we get another week closer to WrestleMania. By next week, we should know truly what's going to happen with Bobby Lashley and Bray Wyatt. By next week, we should have a little bit more with Ray and Dominic. So I think next week, closer to WrestleMania, I think the Q&A would be a little bit more fun. So there's a thread in the community section on YouTube right now. If you go to the community section, you're more than welcome to post a question. And I will definitely include it on next Thursday's Q&A. If you'd rather email me instead, it's dontony@dontony.com. And I have not checked emails in the last 3 days. Forgive me. I know we got that Gigi Dolan prize. I don't know if the person claimed it or not. I think the Nikita Lyons was claimed. I got to check emails tomorrow. But if they did send their shipping, those both will go out tomorrow. And if Run DMG sends me his shipping info, then I will send out that Undertaker Foco as well. That other mystery box will open Saturday, and we'll give that away Saturday. And then next Monday, we'll do the Dominic Mysterio thing. So just a little thank you, you know, for always supporting me. I mean, I wish I could do more giveaways on the replay. And believe me, we will do one very, very soon where everyone will be able to be part of it. It's not as easy, especially since there's no timestamps in the comment section, but I have an idea that we'll probably do for next week. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your evening or day. Here in New York, we are in the midst of a nor'eastern. I was very, very nervous that we would lose internet connection tonight because something about the complex I live in, when there's too much rain or too much snow, underneath me there's a crawl space and all the wires are down there. And for some reason, they get waterlogged and the connections go out. And that's why sometimes I could tap into my cell phone, but it's not easy to do while you're live. So luckily tonight, we've had no connection issues. I got my cell phone right here just in case. But yeah, we're in the middle of a shitty nor'eastern. So, but it's rain. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's downpouring right now over here. But everyone be well. Be well. If you're around tomorrow and you're part of our Patreon family, join us. Kevin and I will be doing a show together for the first time in a couple of years. It will be available for YouTube channel members. And I want to make this clear. I brought it up yesterday. The reason why, as of now, I'm not posting it like an audio version on DonTony.com, and it is going to be an audio show. It's not going to be video. But the reason why I'm not is because already I've gotten probably about 90 or 100 messages. You know, you guys got to do another show. You got to bring the band back together. Got to do this, got to do that. And yeah, that's the one of the reasons why we haven't done one, because, you know, we don't want people to expect it over and over and over again. If everything goes well tomorrow, and it should, there'd be no reason. You know, there's no anger anymore, but we'll see how it goes tomorrow. If the show is easy peasy and we both think that everybody would enjoy it, I'll post it on DonTony.com for everybody. But I don't want to make that, you know, promise. And here's another thing, too. Our Patreon family is this big. And the YouTube channel members is even smaller. It's smaller than a baby's pee-pee. You know, so the thing is that there's so few people. Like, we're not doing it in front of tens of thousands of people who tune every week. So the pressure is a little bit easier. It's a little more laid back. You know, that's one of the reasons why we decided to do it as well. It's definitely not a money grab, because honestly, if anybody that has a regular Patreon, you know that over the last 4 days that I've been plugging it, you know how many people returned to Patreon for this episode? One. So when you do the math and figure it out, I have to give Kev another $1.66 at the end of the month. So it wasn't about a money grab. We're going to, you know, do it and see what happens. So it's not baby steps. See, that's what I mean. You know, people think like, oh, this happened and it could happen again and again and again and again. It could. But, you know, he's got his deal. I got my deal. And we really don't want to start rocking the boat and stuff like that. But hey, who knows? Who knows? You never know. Not going to make no promises. So, all right, everyone, much love. Be well. And I'll catch you all again soon. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.